are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Amen. Thank you, bro.
That was nice.
That was very nice. I think we'll sing a song at the closing, too. Appreciate you. All right. Praise the Lord. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? That's a great question. The blood in the body of Jesus Christ was the only blood ever shed that was acceptable to God the Father on your behalf and on my behalf. Why? Because it wasn't tainted with sin, was it? No, it was perfect as he was perfect. He was impeccable. Not only had he never sinned, which qualified him as the perfect man, which qualified him as the perfect lamb without spot or blemish that was foretold even from the Garden of Eden, that blood was represented by all the other blood in the Old Testament. All of it pointed to his blood. None of the blood of the bulls and goats, the doves, none of the animals that were sacrificed for the remission of sins actually took away any sin. But it all pointed to that great day when Jesus Christ voluntarily gave that perfect life, that he came and lived 33 and a half years, if you will, and he gave up what he did to satisfy God on your behalf for you because he loved you with such an eternal, powerful love. Paul said nothing can separate us on that love. He's a great Savior, isn't he?
Matthew chapter 14 and verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth thou art the Son of God. And when they were going over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were distressed or diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole.
Return with me now to Matthew chapter 14. And we'll take our lesson from here this morning. I realize that all of us have probably been familiar with this account since we were little. I know I have. Familiar with it. It's an amazing feat. And this is an account. It's not a story. It really did happen. And the relevance of this account and the relevance of the lesson here is applicable to us today. It applies to us today. And I want us to see that this morning. And if we're going to title this message, which we will, we'll title it Walking on Water. Walking on Water. Now, I saw something the other day that caught my eye about walking on water. A lady wanted something from her husband. Might have been something as great as having another child, something that he wouldn't agree with. And he said, when you can walk on water, and that'll be fine. So she took like four cases of water and lined them up and jumped up on there and walked across. Men can always figure some some other way, can he? But it doesn't get him anywhere. All right. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Now, we know what just happened, right? The Lord just fed thousands of people from just a tiny bit of food. A great miracle, all right? Straightway, Jesus, verse 22, constrained his disciples to get in a ship and to go before him unto the other side. And this is the other side of the sea, as the Bible calls it here. That's what we'll call it, this great body of water. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. He sent them on ahead of him while he stayed behind and sent the multitude with 5,000 men. We don't know how many women and children, but all of them at this point, we have to believe, had a full belly, and he sent them back home. All right. And when he had sent the multitudes away, this is verse 23, he went up into a mountain apart or away from all those people to be alone. He went there to be alone, but he wasn't alone, was he? No, because he went there to pray. And so he was in the presence, if you will, of Yahweh, of his Father, Jehovah. As he went there to pray. What a lesson that is for us. To separate ourselves from all. Well, from all. Let's leave it right there. Separate ourselves from all and to be with him in prayer. It's so important that we obey his command to be still. What will we learn from being still? What did he say? Be still and know that I am God. All right. So, when he had, verse 23, when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. Notice a mountain up out of the land, up to a higher place. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea and tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. Calm down. It's me. It is I. Be not afraid. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. That was Peter, wasn't it? And he said, come. The Lord said to Peter, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried and saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? I know Brother Gene already read that for us, but I wanted to read it again. All right. I want us to see this morning that in verse 22, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship. In other words, he put them in a ship. It was his decision, his plan. Not only did he design it, because he knew all this was going to happen, right? Of course, he's God. He knows all things. He's not subject to time. I want us to see that he put them in the ship. Now, that sounds familiar when we think back to Noah, doesn't it? Absolutely. The Lord put Noah in the ship, and he shut him in, didn't he? All right. So, the Lord constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him. I want us to see some significance here for us today in this account, in this lesson. All right. We are in a vast sea of sin. It's the world. We are living in this vast sea of sin. Yes, we could use the analogy of a desert, too, where there's no living water, hardly, except where the Lord puts it. But in this case, in this account, The reference is that we are living in this world, this vast world, sinful world, fallen, cursed earth. But the Lord has put us somewhere. He has constrained us and put us in the bride of Christ. So I want us to see this ship, this boat, the Bible calls it a ship, we'll call it a ship, as the church where God has placed us. Now, as we live our lives in this world and in the church, we have issues, don't we? We do. Because the ship's in the sea. And to, as far as our understanding goes, the sea does what it wants to. Yes, God's in control. But as far as we're concerned, and it's real easy to see this when you live on the Gulf Coast here, because most of us have been out there in some really high seas and wishing we weren't. Looking at the land like, ooh, I wish I was there. I made a bad decision. Okay. So, he went to pray. The Lord knew what was about to happen. He knew what he was going to do. He knew the implications of this when we read it today. Again, he's in control of time. He's not subject to time. It always makes me think about the water into wine. We have some winemakers. And they know how much time it takes to turn water into wine. Well, actually, it's impossible. It's turn grapes into wine. But Jesus did it just like that. Just like that. He's not subject to time. Okay. When he had sent the multitude away, verse 23 again, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. When evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves. For the wind was contrary. And again, we could take reference to the ark. Noah and his family in the ark, and there were some severe waves when the Lord flooded the earth. Let me tell you, it was severe. To these fellows, these waves were severe. Because they felt like they were going to die. As church members, as we're living our lives in this sinful world, our lives are tossed about in a world of sin because of the world of sin, aren't they? They are. All of our lives, one way or another, are affected by the sinful world around us. I want us to notice this morning that the Lord put the disciples in the ship. He has put us here together for His purpose. We are in a safe place in His presence. Our lives are tossed about because of sin. But we are preserved by God from the pollutions of this sinful world. That they do affect us. We have to admit that, don't we? Yes. We're taught to confess our sins. We're sinners. We were born that way. We can't, like we humans do, we can't sweep it under the rug, can we? No, because God sees all things. And He has a plan for us. Paul tells us that all things, A-L-L, all things work together for good to those that love Him, that are they called for His purpose. All right. Let's continue on. So the wind was against them. Where were they headed? Well, they were headed to the other side, weren't they? If you're a child of God this morning, you're living this life, but you're headed to the other side. You're in this sea of life. But you're headed to the other side of this life, see? You're headed to the other side. But on this journey across this sea, on your life's journey through this world, you're going to have tribulation. But the Lord said in another place, be of good cheer. Why? Because I have overcome the world. He was walking on top of the water, above nature, if you will. He created the water, didn't he? He created the seas, the dry land, and all that there is. All right. In the fourth watch of the night, verse 25, Jesus, one of them walking on the sea, having power over nature. That's how he was able to do it, right? Absolutely. He has power over nature today. He has power over your fallen nature that is still within you in your life today. See, he has all power in heaven and in earth, doesn't he? If you're living for him, you can give him praise because he's the one that called you to get in the ship. He is the one that called you into this eternal life and gave you the Holy Spirit of God within your heart. He has power over all natural things. He has given you power by the Holy Spirit, again, I say, dwelling within your heart to overcome these natural tendencies that will pull you away from God. The world around us, it's against Jesus Christ, isn't it? It is. You look around, any religion is okay as long as it doesn't have Jesus Christ dying on the cross and raising from light into life again. The world is against us, you see. The sea, it was rough. And they were in the middle of it. And they were afraid. Verse 26, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. Never seen anything like it. That's something impossible that they're witnessing. They were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway, immediately, Jesus identified himself. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. And they knew him. So immediately they were able to relax. They weren't afraid anymore because it was him. And they knew him. Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And Jesus said, he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. You see, he was focusing on the Lord. And he was able to walk on water. He was able to have the power, if you will, to walk on water without sinking. Well, he certainly didn't have it before. He was afraid for his life, thinking he wasn't going to make it to the other side. But when he was looking at the Lord, he was able to walk on water. It's interesting. That Peter said, if it be thou. Is that really you? You must be a ghost. No human can walk on water without sinking. Is that really you? If it is, prove it. Let me walk on water too. And Jesus was willing for that to happen, wasn't he? He was. He reached out his hand. He said, come on. Apparently it was a fairly big ship because Peter came down out of the ship, climbed down out of the ship, and he walked on water, and he's able to do so because his focus, he was looking at the Lord. We are able to overcome this world of sin as we live our lives because the Lord has called us. He has said, yes, come, have power over nature. I give you power over nature. What nature am I talking about? Well, each of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, haven't we? We inherited a nature, of fallen nature from Adam, didn't we? Because of Adam's transgression against God, we've inherited that. We have it. Our hearts are evil. Who can know it? Only God. But God, through faith, now God works by means, doesn't he? God, through faith that he's given you, by the way, Jesus Christ is the author of your faith, if you believe in Jesus Christ this morning. He is the finisher of your faith. He has all power in the heaven and earth, and he's given you the power to overcome what nature? Yours. Those human tendencies that continue to needle us, and we do have the same enemy that spoke to Eve in the Garden of Eden, don't we? It's him. It's the same one with the same lie. God didn't say that. He didn't mean that. He don't want you to be as great as he is. It's the same lie. You can be your own God. But God has given us not only the power to overcome our human nature as we sail on this ship, as we walk in this life, he's put us together for his purpose. And that's for strength, isn't it? Absolutely. Iron sharpens iron. We are strengthened as we are together. It's a little taste of heaven. My brother Joe Martinez wrote a song. It's a taste of heaven when the saints are gathered together around the Word of God. And that's true. He has also given us the authority to call on his name when we're in need. All right. So Peter said, if it's really you, if I believe it's really you, will you allow me to overcome the forces of nature too and walk on water? And the Lord, again, I say in verse 29, he said, come. Come on, come to me. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior this morning, it's because he's spoken those words to your heart. Amen. He draws us to himself. Because no human is accepted of God except Jesus Christ. And it's our faith in him that he's given us freely to believe that he not only hung on the cross and gave his perfect life for the remission of sins, but he did it for me, for you, each one personally. And you can give him all the praise because he's drawn you into that truth. We're unable to comprehend the grace of God, except when he reveals it to us. All right. So, again, we're enabled to come to Jesus walking above our human nature. Where was Peter walking? Above the water. He wasn't in the water. He was above it. Well, until he took his eyes off Jesus anyway. We're getting there. This human nature would send us to hell without the intervention of the Lord. But as we live this Christian life, as we live for him, as we are in the process, as Romans 8 tells us, of this predestinated effect, this growth of being conformed to the image of his Son, as that is happening, we are walking above our human nature. See, Paul teaches over and over to mortify the deeds of the flesh. Put them down there somewhere. Rise above them by living in the way Jesus Christ lived, for him and conforming to him. All right. Now, Jesus Christ has defeated this enemy that I spoke of. And again, I say, he's done it on our behalf. He has satisfied God the Father by living this perfect life and freely sacrificing his perfect life for our imperfect life. But now, God the Father sees us through the blood of Jesus Christ. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? So he sees us as perfect. I know that's hard to comprehend. But that's the nature of God. He's love, isn't he? Nothing can separate us from that love, see? All right. When the Lord calls us to walk with him, he does so with power and authority. He says, come, walk above nature. I have the power for you to do it. I have the power for you to walk on water. That was the implication to Peter. Come on. And he did. And as long as he kept his eyes on the Lord, he stayed above. As long as we keep our eyes and our focus, the focus of our lives, the intentions of our day, as we get up every morning, we put him first. We look to him for direction and we follow him. He's already walked the path of a perfect life. We have the accounts of it right here, don't we, in the Gospels? Absolutely. He's already paved the way for us, see. He's already paved the way. But when we take our focus off of him, we're very apt, because of this human nature, to sink back into this sinful world, aren't we? We are. We still have this human nature within us, but praise God, we have a new nature that he's given us. And we're headed to the other side, and Jesus is in the ship. He's taking us safely to the other side, to the land of milk and honey, promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and you. Oh, he's gone to prepare a place for us, and we think the natural things of this world are awesome, and they are. The bigger microscope man builds, the more things we find out. The stronger telescope, the more things we find out. It's past finding out. Far past finding out. Just imagine what this new world is going to be like. He created this earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh. How long has he been preparing the new place for us? A while. We're headed to the other side, aren't we? All right. Verse 30. But when he saw Peter, saw the wind. The wind is what was kicking up the waves, right? Was going to sink the ship in their eyes. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Why was he sinking? Why did he begin to sink? Because his faith wavered. He doubted. Another common human characteristic, isn't it? Doubt. Absolutely. Oh, but as we live in this life he's given us, in this group he's given us, he's put us in the ship, we are strengthened over and over, and our faith is strong. And we realize that Jesus is here, he's in the ship, and we know where the ship's headed. And it's going through this world of sin. It's passing through this world of sin as we are. And oh, what a wonderful life it's going to be when we've been there 10,000 years. We'll have no less days to sing his praise than when we first begun. He is a marvelous Savior, isn't he? He is. So, how did Peter stop from sinking? He asked for help, didn't he? He asked for help. That's an important part of our lives, isn't it? It is. We saw where Jesus went up in the mountain, away from the things of the world. He just sent at least 5,000 people away. We know it was more than that. And he went up apart to be with God, because he says he went there to pray. He cried out. That's what he did. He cried out. Our help is in the Lord. No matter what the situation you find yourself in. My wife has a license plate on the front of her car. It says, Jesus is the answer. The implication is, it doesn't matter what the question is. Amen. It doesn't matter what the problem is. He's God with all power in heaven and on earth. Realize this morning that He's steering this ship. Realize that you are in His bride and His family. You are His child. And as Paul said, nothing you can think of can separate you from the love that's driving that ship to this wonderful place where we're going to spend eternity with Him. Oh, praise Him this morning if you know Him, because He's called you to walk on water. He's called you to rise above the things of this earth and the sinfulness in this world that we live in. He's called you and given you the strength and the power and the faith to walk above and to walk in Him. He's a great and marvelous Savior.